Good morning, Calvary. We are so glad you're here this morning to worship with us, whether in person or online. If you're new with us today, we would love to connect with you after the service, or if you are online, you can connect with us on the Info Hub.
So the Christmas Eve service is coming up, and we're doing it a little differently this year. You know, it's kind of been a crazy year, so we're going to do Christmas Eve different as well. It's going to be at 5:30, and it is going to be outdoors. It's going to be live streamed, so if you don't want to come be outdoors, you can still watch it there, and you can register to come in person on the Church Center app.
Perfect. Following that, the December 27th and January 3rd, we are going to be online only. That's main services, that's students, that's kids, so you can find the services there as well as the material that Jordan and I will be posting for students and kids, such as devotions and videos like that on Facebook, the Info Hub. Just look out for that in your email and for future announcements.
Yeah, and for different announcements and information about events and things like that, be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Keep up with us throughout the week, and let's get ready to worship.
Good morning, church. Y'all stand with us. If you're joining us at home, thank you for joining us. Let's worship. Come
on. Joy to the world, joy to the world, to the world. Rejoice, rejoice, our King is here.
He shall reign forever.
Men of earth and angels cheer.
He shall reign forever.
Glory right before our eyes.
He shall reign forever.
Majesty in a manger lies. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, God sent his Son. Go tell the world, tell everyone. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. See the shepherds bowing down.
He shall reign forever.
Wise men offer him their crowns.
He shall reign forever.
Into now and far beyond.
He shall reign forever.
Stand and join in this song. Joy to the world, to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, God sent his Son. Go tell the world, tell everyone. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. To the world, the Lord is good.
Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Thank you again for joining us for worship today. And through this Advent season, we have read scripture and been reminded of each theme. And so we want to invite the Butler family up to come and read our scripture and light our next candle for us.
I'm reading Ephesians 2, 14 through 17. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near.
Let's pray. Jesus, we praise you this morning for the arrival of peace that was brought by your birth into the world. Lord, though times now seem chaotic, we know that you reconcile everything on heaven and earth by making peace through your blood shed on the cross. May we now strive for peace in our lives, families, and communities because you are peace. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue in worship.
Breaking through the silence, the glory in the highest, the hope of all creation, resting in his mother's arms. A song on the horizon, ringing through the heavens. Long-awaited Savior, come to set the captive free. Come to set the captive free. Come set us free. And hope has a name, Emmanuel, the light of the world, who broke through the darkness. Oh, hail the King, Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory. See it coming. Story of redemption was started in a manger, ended in an empty grave. Oh, I know that hope has a name, Emmanuel, the light of the world, who broke through the darkness. Oh, come if you're broken, come if you're searching, if you need healing, he's where you find it. Lay down your burdens and breathe in forgiveness. If you need freedom, he's where you find it. Oh, and if you need freedom, yeah, he's where you find it. Oh, he's where you find it.
And would you pray with me? And let's thank him this morning for his peace. That hope has a name, that God is with us here even today. So, Lord, we thank you. We rejoice this morning at your coming and your coming again. We thank you, Lord. Would you bring peace in this place? We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat?
Amen. Good morning, Calvary. Morning to our online audience as well. We know that there is a lot going up. Let me ask you this question for those in the house. How many of you have ever been to a Purdue football game in the freezing cold? Good. See you at Christmas Eve. It's going to be cold. We encourage you, if you are coming, to register online. We're going to be outside. We're going to spread out. Unlike a Purdue football game, though, or wherever sporting event, you can actually bring your own little heater and put it at your feet if you really want to. Just make sure and don't catch the grass on fire, and watch for kids touching your heater, okay? So having said that, Christmas Eve service will be very short. It will be outside, and it is 5:30. Drew will be sharing some more announcements later with us the rest of the service. And this is important for us to understand why we gather. I want to reiterate again, why we gather is to be in the presence of God. And so as we're going through this week, your mind may be going 1,000 different directions, and maybe, just maybe, what you're really wanting is a little bit of peace. I would argue that many of us want a little piece of peace. And as this week will look different for many people, some people are going to be more isolated, some people are nervous because they're going to have the grandparents around, some people will have lost someone and it will be tragic. Through it all, let me assure you, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we're looking at this journey for peace, we're going to look at it through the lens of the story of the wise men, found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we saw his star and its rising and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." Now when I read that story, I think of the journey that the wise men had to go on and the sacrifice and the time that would have taken. I read that story and I think, what a great and powerful reminder to us of what it looks like to go on the journey of peace, to find the King of Peace in our own life. As we walk through the Advent calendar, I hope you've seen this progression, that joy comes as a result of faith, which comes as a result of hope. That is fact, that our hope is what launches our faith, that allows us to get into the idea of joy. Now, some people have said, why are we doing joy and then peace? Because in my church growing up, we did peace then joy. Let me explain it to you like this. Joy and peace are interchangeable, because hope is what produces faith. Faith is what produces in us joy and peace. You get that? So on this journey of peace, the wise men were going to find the King of Peace, and they would have come from a long way out on their journey for peace. But when I find this story, and as I've read it anew, try to read it anew every year, I look at this story, and what sticks out to me immediately, and what has stuck out to me this year, was the contrasting view of what it looks like to be at peace for the wise men versus that of Herod. So today, I want us to look and ask ourselves, are we more like Herod, or are we more like the wise men on our journey of peace? Who is Herod? Herod the Great was granted the title the King of the Jews by the Roman Senate. He ruled in Jerusalem from around 40 to 4 BC. He was a ruthless ruler who did not hesitate to murder even those in his own family. Herod saw the wise men's request as a direct threat to his empire, so he hastily gathered chief priests and scribes to tell him where the Messiah would be born. So let me unfold this and make that a little more simple. The wise men came who were rulers, who were considered nobility. And where would the nobility go to look for a king? To a palace. And when they arrived at the palace, they were shocked to find that the ruler of that palace, Herod, had never heard of him. Isn't that funny? And I think that kind of foreshadows where we are today. There are many who don't know that there is a king amongst us. His name is Jesus. And there are many who might show up going, where is this king? And you're going, what king? It's Jesus. And I think we miss the king for who he really is because we often, far too often, make ourselves a king or a queen, ladies. And by that, I mean we make our life around us. And so, ironically, all of Herod's actions, think about this, the murdering of people, even those in his family, was in an effort to have peace. His peace. Contrast that with the wise men who then go on this journey for peace. And I want to unwrap this thought in our mind. Are some of our actions that we hope to bring about peace in our life actually causing more strife, more anxiety? So how do we get there? Well, it has been said that pride is often the root of all sin. Pride is the root of all sin. And what is meant by that, the common 21st cool word way to say pride is narcissism, right? The idea of the world exists to be here for me. The world exists for my pleasure. The world exists for my power, my control, and all that. The world is revolving around me. Now, here's the difficult part of that. Often when I say things like that, we immediately think of somebody that reminds us of without first looking in the mirror to see if it's us. When I look at the idea of understanding how this works and how this revolves around us and how we become driven by our sins, and then this idea that when we sin, it's ultimately to bring about what we hope will be peace, but we only find peace when we pursue Jesus. What I find is a lot of times we do things without knowing how to stop because we don't ever get to the real problem. Let me explain it to you like this. When I was a very little boy, my parents had some good friends, the Blankenships. They were a family that they would go over and play 42 with. That was a domino game that the cool kids played back in the day. And when you played 42, they would gather together. And so my parents spent a lot of time with their family. They had a daughter that would come and hang out. And we were close. We were tight. And so I called Mrs. Blankenship Mrs. B. And along the time, I felt like I could approach Mrs. B. And she was kind of like a friend. You know how your parents' friends are kind of almost like your friends? Now, I called her Mrs., so it wasn't like I called her by her first name and stuff. But one of these days, I noticed, and I was really, really young. I don't remember the exact age, but really young. And so, moms, I'm about to tell you a story that it's going to make you cringe as a mother, okay? When I was in church one day, I noticed Mrs. B talking with some other ladies. And I noticed something about her, and I thought I should help her out. So I approached Mrs. B in front of her and all her friends, and I said, Mrs. B, do you know your roots are showing? You ever been slapped on the back of the head? What? I was helping her. She needed to know her roots were showing. Right? Now, Here's the part that we don't understand in the way that we unwrap this. We cover up our roots. That is a normal thing that we do in our society. In fact, we cover up our roots so much that we may not know what we truly look like underneath all of the fake. Amen. And when our roots begin to show, it exposes who we really are. And the reason that we can't get to the roots is because our surface looks different than what is actually who we are. So if we're to really get to the root of the problem, we've got to get to the root of the sin. If pride is the root of all sins, then I want you to see there is a natural progression that will go from a pride into a few other sins, which will lead ultimately to the way we live our life. Let me further explain it by saying like this. Most people do not want to be liars. Why do you lie? If you have a hard time stopping lying, it's probably because there's an underlying, see what I did there, root issue that you have to get to solve why you lie. Same with anxiety, same with lust, same with whatever. Throw in the sin. There is an underlying sin that if you're having a hard time overcoming that, in other words, you're having a hard time being at peace with who you are, it's because you don't know how to combat the actual issue or the root issue. I recently heard a sermon by Matt Chandler, who referenced Tim Keller, who references 1,000 other pastors. One of the difficult things about quoting people when you preach is there are very, very few new ideas under the sun. So let me just say, it's never an attempt to be plagiarist, which is why I quote Matt Chandler. But I'm not sure Matt Chandler quoted Tim Keller. Tim Keller could have been quoting somebody from the 1300s. I don't know, okay? But in understanding this, Tim Keller suggests, which is as far back as I know to go, Tim Keller suggests that there are actually four root sins. Spoiler, you may see a sermon series down the road. Four root sins that actually affect and make us do all of the other sins. They are the birthing ground, if you will, for the other sins we have. What are those four sins? Let's look at those real quickly. In other words, to have peace, we have to rid ourselves of these four root idols. Idols are something we want, we worship. They're about us. Do me a favor. Once again, don't imagine your spouse at this moment, or your kids, or your friend, or that annoying person at church. And just make this about you for a second. You want me to make this about me, and that contrary to the idols? Not when you're actually trying to face them, okay? Four root idols: power, a longing for influence or recognition. Here's the one thing I will tell you about power. Everybody wants power until they have it. Herod wanted power, and the quest for power robbed him of any peace and caused him to live in constant consternation trying to keep that power. Now, if you want these four, we're going to try to put them up on social media. Shout out to Amy Anthony, Nicole Bird. Help me remind me of that later. We're going to put these up later, but the power idea there is I want to have power, and so I want to, because as long as I'm in power, I can control. Oh, that's the second one, right? Power and control often go hand in hand, but control is a longing to have everything go according to my plan. Let's fast forward to Christmas Day. I'm about to help you all out. Many a many Christmas Day will be ruined because you don't have the power to control every circumstance of your family event. So your kid may say to your great aunt, "Hey, your roots are showing." Or the four-year-old may get asked, "Do you like the gift?" And they may give an honest answer. And it's not a good one. And in that moment, your thought isn't, "Oh, isn't that good? I've trained little Susie to always tell the truth." No, your reaction's going to be, whack, on the back of the head, right? And what you're going to realize is in those moments, you can't control your kids. Maybe we weren't supposed to. Maybe the biblical mandate for parenting, for those who are parents in this room, those who want to be parents someday, is to steer them in the direction of Christ, not try to control them.
Got it?
So, in your life, when you can't control things, you get mad. Or you start lying. Or you start... Control is the big one that causes us to have a root idol. Comfort. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. If I see something in our country that we struggle with, it's the comfort. God, I want to work hard so that I can relax more. I want to check in so that I can check out. We spend our lives consumed with how much free time can I have, how many luxuries can I have, how big a TV, how much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe instead of trying to create a world that we long to escape into a pleasure-filled world, maybe we should learn to be at peace with the God of this universe. Approval. One and four don't go together, by the way. If you want approval and you want power, good luck. You're going to be the most miserable person in the world. Approval is the idea that if everybody would just get along or respect me, and so we're willing to lie or we're willing to do whatever it can to tickle the fancies of whatever. Now, when you're looking at this list right here, inevitably, you look at this list and you naturally will say, oh, yeah, I do that one. Which one robs you of peace? Or which two or four robs you of peace? And Tim Keller and Matt Chandler and many other great theologians before me have articulated that when you have a sin in your life, yes, you have to come up with the opposite. In other words, you can't, in order to stop lying, you have to tell the truth. That is a great step in overcoming the idea of what the sin is. But in order to get to the root of the issue, to where you no longer even desire to lie, you've got to actually figure out what is causing you to want to lie, and that goes to the root issue. If you want to find peace, you've got to do the hard work within. You have to die to yourself instead of dying your roots. So what do you need to die to? You see, all four of those, it's ultimately about submitting to the reality that there is a baby that was born. That God came to us and made a way for us to live with him. And it is in kneeling in the presence of this baby who would then go and die on a cross and then kneeling again at the foot of the cross that we rest in the fact that really comfort, pleasure, control, and power are not things that Christians should be chasing after. We should be chasing after peace, love, joy, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control, because those are the fruits of the Spirit, so that when chaos ensues on Christmas Day, you're sitting there going, ha, I'm glad I have peace, right? And everybody's like, how are you so calm? The turkey was burned to a crisp. We still have food, and I have got the joy of the Lord in my strength, right? Or when that cancer diagnosis comes, or when that spouse does the unthinkable, or when your kids don't turn out the way that you think you should because you can't control them even though you would love to. You have peace because you have the presence of God. Now here's the story, it's good. Here's where we have to take it a little farther. You see, peace means at rest, no conflict. No conflict means everything's right. So, if you are like so many Americans today or people globally who are going to church, and on the way to church you had a huge argument. And your reaction was, as you were getting out the car, hey kids, time to dye our roots and fool everybody and we will deal with the issue later. That's not peace, that's a truce. To get to the peace, you got to get to the root. And Jesus is the source of the peace that we need. And in order to find him, it's not always going to be sweetly wrapped up in a bow on a Sunday morning, where one sermon's going to just change your mind, and you're going to suddenly find, oh, this sounds good, I'm going to try this. And we said, they go, I tried to give Jesus everything. Maybe, just maybe, we need to go on a journey. Maybe you have to be willing to go on a journey to find the King of Peace. Matthew 2, 9 through 12. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. And they opened their treasure and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Now, when I get this idea of the journey of peace, I want to emphasize emphatically the idea of a journey. How long did it take those wise men to travel there? We don't really know. Most theologians think that they came probably from East Asia. Most people think they were gone for years, as many as 7 years on this journey. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, and the idea about this is to find the peace, we must be willing to go on the journey, and part of the journey to find the peace means we must be willing to sacrifice. Yes. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and you're sitting there going, oh, great, you're asking us to give to the church. No, I'm asking you to give your time, your efforts, your resources, your thoughts, your energy to God. Are you willing to sacrifice what you think you deserve to find the King of Kings? In my devotion this morning, I read in Hebrews, and the author of Hebrews was challenging his readers. You should be farther along in your faith than you are. And the reason you're not farther along in your faith than you are is because you continue to demand to be, basically warning little kids friendly, breastfed. You've never been weaned. You're still desiring the milk, the easy, spoon-fed life. Time to grow up. Now hear me. We have Jordan. We have Cy. We have Morgan. We have Drew. We have Amy. We have all of these staff who are here. Chris. And it is great to have a huge staff so we can have women's ministry, kids ministry, student ministry, and all of that's wonderful, but the desire and the hope of that actual function is not to continually spoon feed forever, but to remind and teach our children how to grow up, to know how to spend time alone in the presence of God, to remind our women that in the midst of chaos, ultimately, so when we go to a small group setting, hear me, we need community. Community is part of the discipleship pathway, but the idea of being in the community isn't ultimately that the community is the end, but that the community says, yes, this is great because God is here. So here's the good news. The simplicity of the gospel is that the gospel actually works. What is the gospel? The gospel translated means the good news that Jesus Christ came in the form of a baby, died on the cross, is still alive, and you can live and have a relationship with him. So how do I address the root issues? By taking it to him. Stop dying your roots and die to yourself. Stop pretending the issues aren't the issues. And be willing to go on the journey that may take years to find the King of Peace. He is where he says he will be. To find peace, we must be willing to sacrifice. And ultimately, to find peace, we must elevate the King of Peace in our life. How do we do that? Let me give you today's daily training, which is definitely not brand new information, but I think it's probably the most important discipline you can do. I want you to live at peace by spending 20 minutes a day turning off every distraction, remaining in the presence of Jesus. Reading your Bible, opening the scripture. Some of you are like, but it's Christmas week. I know. When more do you need it? And some of you are sitting there going, but how do I do this? And so here's what I would say. If you are married and you have kids and you're struggling with this, maybe, just maybe, moms, you need to say to the dad, guess what, dad, you're up. Men, let me speak to you very clearly. It's not babysitting, it's fathering. And all the sisters said, amen. If you need to get up an extra 20 minutes early, but I don't want to, why? Because it's not comfortable, because you don't feel like you're in control and someone's telling you to do that. Oh, it seems like some root issues. Maybe you might need to be willing to sacrifice 20 minutes of sleep to encounter the presence of God. I don't know what this looks like for you, but let me just tell you, this is where your life changes. When you learn to journey every single day to be in the presence of the King of Peace, this is how you learn to have peace in the chaos when cancer comes, and the calm when you don't even know you need it. Finally, I recognize that there are single parents in the house. There are divorcees, and I want you to hear, though I talk about parenting a lot, I have not forgotten you. And I want you to know the God of Peace is with you, and we will help you and walk beside you as best as we possibly can to help you find that time, to help you find the way to sacrifice. Know that you are loved. So God, right now we ask that you would move here. That you would guide us and guard us and direct us. Be our peace. I want to give you a gift. For the next minute, I want to give you a chance to practice. You might even sit there going, a whole minute in silence? I know. We live in a world where a whole minute in silence sounds awkward. But for just a moment, take a minute and invite the presence of God to fall on your life. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to talk to you more about that, the next step, space on the way out, or yourcalvary.info if you're online. Join us now, though, inviting the presence of God in the next minute, and your minute starts now.
Come and behold.
adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the
trust Him more this morning. Come on, His peace.
With just one word, You calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Just one touch, I feel the presence of Him. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Just one word, You heal what's broken inside. Just one word, You revive every dream. Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. It's not a mountain that He can move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. It's not a prison wall He can't break through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
So let's believe this morning. Come on, let's put our trust in Him.
I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power.
Come on, we can sing that.
I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like His power. There's nothing that our God can't do. It's not a mountain that He can move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. It's not a prison wall He can't break through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Oh, 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 oh.
Morning. You go ahead and stay standing. See what I did there? We'll change it up on you a little bit. Go ahead and stay standing. This is not going to take a real long time. Just a quick reminder that we will not be meeting here on Sunday morning next week or the following week. So we'll be online. You can access that on the Info Hub, Facebook, YouTube, however you do that. All of that will be there. Children's ministry, stuff for the students will be there. But we'll do that for the next two Sundays. But we will be here outside at 5:30 for our Christmas Eve service. If you'd like to sign up and join us for that, we'd love to see you. But as we go, let me pray over you. Prayer of blessing as we go out and remember Christ's birth this week. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that we get to celebrate his birth this week. We get to remember that. Thank you for your peace that you have promised. And I pray a blessing over all of us here. Whether we're in this room, whether we're gathered at home online right now, Lord, I pray that we would have eyes to see how you want to use us this week. Pray that we would find joy in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. I pray that our faith would be made stronger and that our hope would remain in you. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have a Merry Christmas.